21st Century Radio is sponsored by Hieronymus & Company. Now more of 21st Century Radio with your host, Dr. Bob Hieronymus.
I'm on a mission for the King. He told
can you hear me in the chorus there? Can you hear me? Yep, second tenor. I'd like to have been the first tenor, but I'm only a second tenor. Ah, second rate, friends. This is 21st Century Radio. I'm the alleged Dr. Bob Hieronymus, a lowly PhD. And, of course, our executive producer and research assistant, and my boss who pushes me all over the place, is Laura Cordner. And our engineer who can bench press 650 pounds is Jake Bryant. Our guest for the next 20-some minutes is Bud Hopkins, Art, Life, and UFOs, a memoir, Anomalous Books, intrudersfoundation.org. You can order from Amazon by clicking the link on 21stcenturyradio.com. And you can meet Bud Hopkins in person on October the 24th at the Mysteries of Space and Sky 6, Space and Sky 6. The UFO Phenomenon Workshop at the Ramada Inn near BWI Airport. And you can register online by clicking their link at 21stcenturyradio.com. And right after Dr. Bud Hopkins leaves us, Dr. Peter Oreska joins us. Mysteries of Space and the Sky 6. The Sky 6, yeah. We're going to talk about that afterwards. And also, gosh, Rudy, Bud, we got this... it's not an email. This is off the web of a new UFO documentary from James Fox. I'm sure you know all about this, right?
Oh, yeah, I do.
It's called I Know What I Saw.
Yep.
You want to say anything about it?
Well, it's I've seen it, and it has a kind of focus on the press conference that James Fox and Leslie Kahn organized in November of 2007 in Washington. And it has parts of that press conference, which are so important because the people who were speaking were officials, government people. There were two generals, retired, people from, seven or eight different countries. And their segments are going to be in that film, and of course it's also going to be kind of a history of how the UFO phenomenon unfolded in the United States and worldwide. And it's very well done, and I highly recommend it. It's going to be, I think, a major film.
Okay, that opens. It's going to be on tonight. I guess it might have been started, but it's also on tomorrow night as well. Yeah. On the History Channel. Thank you. Thank you, Bud. Now, we talked about your first UFO sighting. How might have this UFO sighting affected your painting?
Well, I think one of the things that I began doing, and I didn't really connect it with the UFO phenomenon, was that I sort of calmed the painting down and made it the compositions a little more orderly, a little more hierarchical. And the interesting thing was that they, for the next 20 years, were dominated more or less by a circle mm-hmm. as a central form. Some of those circles, they were all different. Some of them in the early examples, and some of those are reproduced in the in my book. Had a big black circle in the center with some forms kind of speeding into it. And the black circle could be read either as a hole in the painting that you're looking into or a black thing on top of the other forms. I mean, I deliberately jiggled the space of the painting in such a way that it was extremely ambiguous. And I had the German actor Maximilian Schell, who had bought some paintings of mine, said that he really thought that the UFO experience had influenced the work. And I said, oh, I don't think so, you know. The artists don't like to admit that anything influenced them.
Well, nothing's ever influenced me in all my life.
Oh, of course not.
No.
It doesn't happen.
It's all original thinking.
Yeah.
I think the president's trying to reach you right about now.
Yeah, that's an accident.
Yeah, President Obama.
But the point is that I think that, I put him on hold, you know.
Yeah, good thing.
but the thing is that I believe that there was some sort of a spillover from those experiences into the paintings. And what happened is my paintings began to get a little more structured and calmer, as if they were a little more classical and emotionally steady than they had been before. In a strange way, that happened after the sighting instead of the opposite. One might have thought that it went the other way around, that it was I would have gotten very discombobulated after the sighting in the work, but the opposite happened. And ultimately, I started making temples, guardians, and altars. Those forms all really kind of came from the way my work had been developing anyway. There's nothing magical about that. But I do think it was of influence.
And once again, how fortunate to know what those influences are. You know, I think that most artists would have died before they figured that out. Because just like you say in the book repeatedly, that many artists do not ever want to talk about what influences them, or that, in fact, if anything influences them, but we're always been influenced.
You know, de Kooning, who was a very sharp, sly man, when he was asked what artists influenced him, and he said all of them.
That's a good one.
You can't get around that.
No,
that's pretty good.
Yeah, that is pretty good. But in November 1975, George Obarski, and he was quite a character. I really enjoyed reading this stuff. You're a good writer.
Well, he was a remarkable guy.
And he had a UFO encounter in North Hudson Park. Tell us what happened.
Well, George Obarski had a little liquor store across the street from me on 16th Street. And I used to go in there and get my wine for dinner and all that. And he was a big talker, but in a funny way. He was always complaining and griping and so forth, usually about politics. And we never, ever mentioned anything about UFOs or art. I mean, two subjects I certainly had no interest in. And one day I walked in and he said, I don't know what, he was pacing around behind his counter. He said, I don't know what the world's coming to. A van could be coming home at night and this thing can come down and land next to his car and scare you half to death. And I said, what's that, George? And what unfolded was an incredible experience in a landing of an object of UFO, roughly 35 feet in diameter, something like that, in a park on the Jersey shore, the Jersey Palisades, right opposite about 86th Street in Manhattan. I mean, this is like 1 mile from Broadway, literally. And these figures got out and dug soil samples in seconds while he's in his car looking dumbfounded. And then the thing took off, and he had some very colorful ways of describing what happened and how it looked and so forth. He described the little figures that got out. He said in one piece, where he was some kind of one piece outfit, he said they look like kids in snowsuits. And very interestingly, I have run into two later accounts of the same kind of saying, although these were actually abduction accounts, it seemed to be. And in these two later accounts amongst, you know, thousands, the witnesses said that they look like kids in snowsuits. And, of course, what's interesting here is that the honesty of that is that you take something that's unbelievable and you reduce it down to something that you're trying to help the person see what you saw. And so you use a sort of a childish or dumb image. If you're trying to do the opposite, you might say, and you're making it up, they were beautiful, and they had long flowing hair and robes and this and that.
That's the kind I like, Bud.
That's the kind you like.
No,
but you know right away you're in trouble because what they're doing is kind of elevating the thing to some level, that godlike level, that is going to be very impressive. But to say that it looked like kids in snowsuits is to, is to kind of reduce the thing in such a way that shows you're really telling the truth. And incidentally, just one thing I would like to mention, I didn't put this in the book, but when there was a television program done about this sighting, it became a very big story because there was another witness who saw the whole thing from another point of view, a doorman. And George was interviewed on this program, and it was not a program with an audience, so I was not on the program. I was standing out around watching it. And I said to George, when he's going on, I said, George, they might try to question your honesty or something. And I said, tell them immediately about the other witness who confirmed what you saw. You know, and describe mm-hmm. what the witness said he saw. So when George was on the program, the rather smarmy interviewer said, well, I got to ask you these things, Mr. Barsky. Is there any insanity in your family, or is there any alcoholism, and, you know, these sorts of things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And did you really see this? And George, and I'm sitting back there thinking, George, tell him about the other witness. And George looks this man in the face, and he says, well, I tell you, he said, I'm 72 years old, or whatever he was. And he said, I've lived a long life, and a man doesn't live a long life and tries to be as honest as he can be and then throws it all away by making up something. He said, I saw this.
Mm-hmm.
And he did not rely on another person to back up his story. He just, and I can tell you that when he said this, it was a lot more eloquent and emotional than I'm making it. But when he said this, the cameramen and so on were turning to each other and kind of, doing the little circle with their thumb and forefinger and waving their hands like, gee, that's
mm-hmm.
great.
Yeah. Well, you know, as a matter of fact, maybe in the same show or something close to it, UFO bunkers, as you know, are the least studied and least knowledgeable about UFO research. And after the Village Voice article you wrote on the North Hudson Park case,
yeah.
you turned the table on a skeptic who told you why UFOs can't possibly exist. This is your answer was classic. This we've got to do a write-up and put this in a book. Maybe we'll just use your book all the time. But what did you say to him? You really, this was quite an inspiration.
Well, this was on a radio program, and the guy was saying, look, this can't have happened. You can't, whatever your UFO, space travel is impossible. You can't get here from there. And even if you could, the spacecraft would not be round like you're describing these things, you know, blah, blah, blah. And the figures who wouldn't look like that, and they wouldn't take soil samples and so on. These are the reasons why this didn't happen. And he was posing as the skeptic. And I said to him, well, you know, it seems to me like, in terms of skepticism, that I'm the skeptic and you're the true believer. You know, before you've heard anything about this case, that it couldn't have happened because you have this list of beliefs about space travel and what they would look like and what they would or would not do. And I said, I don't really know any of those things. I have to look into these cases to find out whether there's anything to support them or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I'm the skeptic who's trying the evidence, and you're the true believer who knows in advance that it didn't happen.
That was precious. That really was. That's got to be. But then again, there is the curious case of Dr. Carl Sagan.
Oh, boy.
Yes, I know. And we're running out of time, but we got to definitely touch on this, and a little bit on Hynek and a little on Leslie Keene. But Dr. Carl Sagan, please review the two faces of Dr. Carl Sagan and why you think he couldn't act truthfully.
Well, the thing is, I don't really know what Sagan really did know or not know about the subject. But when we were on a program together, he approached me in the green room. It's a long story that I go into in the book. But use the skeptic's favorite mantra, which is extraordinary claims demand extraordinary evidence. And I said, well, Carl, I think what we have to say about this phenomenon is this extraordinary phenomenon with all of the reports, the photographs, the astronaut sightings, the pilot, everything, all of this evidence. Whatever you think about the evidence, it is an extraordinary phenomenon. He said yes, and I said, well, shouldn't we be saying instead that the extraordinary phenomenon demands an extraordinary investigation?
Of course, yeah.
And you say that to a scientist, and you really put him on the spot, because what he's sort of left with is, I don't know enough about the evidence, or he just sort of mutters and so forth. But he was, I think, really thrown by that. And actually, when I began the Intruders Foundation, that became our slogan: "An extraordinary phenomenon demands an extraordinary investigation." And how can any scientist kind of put that down?
Well, he agreed with you that if there was an important case, a really good case, you contact him and he'll work on it with you. And of course,
he'll look into it with me. And I waited until I got a case of a student actually at Cornell where he was teaching, and it was a very, very good case and a very touching letter and so forth. And so I sent a copy with the student's permission to Sagan, and I put out, I thought, a very generous proposal that we get together and we can look into this. And I said, if there's any kind of hypnosis that would be involved, I said, you can get somebody from the psychology department to do it. I don't have to do it. I just want to be there. And I said, we'll just work together on this. And I said, whatever we learn and whatever you learn, it's going to be helpful, you know, to both of us. And he sent me about a month later, like, this little short reply saying he didn't find this an interesting case. The man had a scar on his leg from the incident, and it's a whole long, complicated thing, but he was just bowing out because it was better for him to kind of pontificate on television and sort of tut-tut the whole subject and so forth than it was to actually get his hands dirty by looking into something.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you remember Phil Klass, but Phil Klass had some real classics. Like, the one I thought was a really classic one was when something was brought up about UFO piece of evidence. Phil Klass would say, "I've got the answer to that, but it's in the glove compartment of my car outside, and we don't have time to go out and get it." And of course, at the end of the show, they said, "Okay, go get it." He said, "Well, it's not out there." And they said, "You made it up?" He said, "Well, you know, I thought it was out there, but now I realize I didn't have it there."
Yeah.
I mean,
he was. I have to say this. I don't like to speak ill of my fellow human beings, but this man was essentially despicable, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I think he was worse than despicable. I mean, you heard, you know, you read what NASA wrote about him after he passed on as being most unreliable. And yet
absolutely.
They were referring. He was all he was all over the media. I'm sorry.
Right. Well, when I quoted something, excuse me, outrageous that he had said to Carl Sagan, I said, "Your man, Klass," and Sagan immediately sort of put up his hand. He said, "He's not my man."
Yeah.
Like he didn't want to be connected with him.
Now, you had a wonderful relationship with J. Allen Hynek, but there was something that really was adorable. He related to you, "Damn it, bud, you make a strong case for abductions, and I don't like it because I don't accept it. I don't accept it more easily. If I thought the aliens made mistakes." And after his passing, you discovered aliens made a lot of mistakes.
Many mistakes.
Yeah. So what kind of mistakes were they making?
Well, I mean, putting the wrong clothes on the wrong people, back to the group of people. And when they dress them, they put the wrong shirt on somebody. One of the more amusing and sad, weird things was a woman I'd worked with who had got she'd bought a new, rather lacy nightgown from Victoria's Secret. And when she woke up after remembering certain things that happened, she was wearing this big, bulky, green man's T-shirt, which they just wonder how the guy woke up, you know.
I like the one with the earrings, too.
Can
you imagine
so many?
Yeah. Can you imagine all of a sudden inheriting diamond and gold earrings when you just had plastic ones? Well, you know, that's just wonderful. We're about out of time. I'm so sorry. There are so many good parts in this book. Dr. John Mack, you noted he regarded the physical evidence of UFOs such as scoop marks as worthless, which I thought to be really strange. Really strange. I don't quite understand that one.
Yeah,
but
I don't either.
Let's end, though, with Leslie Keene. You noted what her important work before.
Absolutely.
Leslie Keene, what are her contributions to that landmark 2007 international press conference in about a minute? Can you do it in a minute?
She actually got these people together, together with James Fox, but she did all the legwork, really. And what she got as an example was an Iranian general, Parviz Jafari, who had been involved in a famous kind of dogfight over Tehran in 1976 with the UFO, and she got Comandante Oscar Santa Maria from Peru, who had been in the same kind of a dogfight over a major Peruvian airbase a few years later, and we sat around at the dinner table where the two of them, Santa Maria was being translated, Jafari spoke English, were comparing like two old RAF fighter pilots about what happened and what their planes did and how these things maneuvered and so forth. It was absolutely stunning. She is working on a book on all of these major political figures and generals and so forth. I think her book is going to have 5 generals' testimony in it.
Good heavens!
So it'll be coming out next summer, and you're going to have her on the program. It's really a major piece of work.
So that her work and that accomplishment is part of that new UFO documentary of I Know What I Saw.
Is. Absolutely, they work together closely and. Incidentally, let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Did you enjoy reading the book?
I had a great time. And you see, with my insane schedule, I had to read your entire book, and I did it in one day. Now, I'm not a fast reader, but there were parts of it that were so funny. And I'm sorry we couldn't get to the many of the other parts of it. Your love lives are just wonderful. I mean, that was a movie in itself.
I wanted the book to be enjoyable and have all of the texture of my life, including the bad stuff and the intimate stuff and the funny stuff and the UFO stuff and the art stuff and the on and on and the political, all of these things. Because I felt a responsibility to the reader that I wanted this to be a good experience for them. That's what I've hoped. That's why I asked the question.
Well, I had a wonderful experience all day. It took me 12 hours racing against the time, not answering any phone calls and everything. But it was really just extraordinary. And then, once again, when it was over, I was sorry it was over. I wish you would have written 600 more pages because of the story qualities. And I remember some of the places up in New York you were talking about, and that really really excited me a great deal to think about those kind of things. Thank you, Bud. I hope to get a chance to meet you. I'm going to do everything I can on October 24th to come. For just a little while. I know I have 2 other engagements. I'll have to hire someone to drive me around to all of them to try to get there. But usually you're just going to be so crowded anyway that even if I got there, didn't mean I necessarily see it.
Peter Vess is a wonderful speaker and has done absolutely great work in the field. And I'm very, very pleased to be able to be with him at this conference.
As a matter of fact, Dr. Peter Resta is going to be joining us in just a few minutes to tell us about the mysteries of space and Sky 6, the UFO Phenomenon Workshop at the Ramada Inn near BWI Airport, October 24th. Thank you for joining us, Bud. It's been a great pleasure.
Well, thank you.
And get a haircut and shine your shoes.
Okay.
Are you wearing a tie tonight?
No, but I'm going to hang by my thumbs.
Okay. Okay. All right. When we get back, it will be Dr. Peter Resta, Mysteries of Space and Sky 6, the UFO Phenomenon Workshop at the Ramada Inn, October the 24th.
680 WCBM.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These are the fundamental truths upon which our nation was founded, and they are illustrated by the new exhibit at the world-renowned American Visionary Arts Museum on Key Highway in Baltimore. Dare I say it, it's their best ever. Get over there the next free weekend you have and take all of your out-of-town visitors to AVAM to show it off. While there, do me a favor and stop by their incredible gift shop called Sideshow and buy one of my books that are on special sale at Sideshow in honor of their Life, Liberty, and Pursuit of Happiness exhibit. Call 443-872-4926. That's 443-872-4926 or on the web at avam.org.
No matter who we are or what we do, our health is a priority. To stay well or to recover from an illness or injury, consider using options that are safe, natural, and in some cases, thousands of years old. From acupuncture to modern-day massage, counseling, and homeopathic medicine, the Ruscomb Mansions Community Health Center offers children and adults numerous health care and support services. Find out more about the Ruscomb Mansions yoga classes and weekend programs. Call 410-367-7300. That's 367-7300.
Hello, my name is Eric von Däniken. I'm the author of Chariots of the Gods and many other books. And you are listening to 21st Century Radio with Dr. Bob Hieronymus.
This is Dr. Bob Hieronymus. Yes, indeed. Welcome back to 21st Century Radio. And boy, it was great talking to Bud Hopkins again, wasn't it? Well, Dr. Peter Resta is going to be joining us now. And as we've been telling you all night, Bud Hopkins is appearing in Baltimore at the end of this month at the Mysteries of Space and Sky 6, the UFO Phenomenon Workshop at the Ramada Inn near BWI Airport. You can register now to hear his presentation, as well as a bevy of the best UFO speakers out there today. October 24th is the date, 9 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. is the time. And joining us now, as he has to also done before, to promote almost all of the Mysteries of Space and Sky conferences over the years, is the organizer of the conference, Dr. Peter Resta. And I really recommend those of you who truly who are interested in the UFO mystery to take advantage of these type of conferences and workshops whenever you are, especially when they're close enough to at home to do so. You will get so much more out of these researchers when you can hear them live and in person than you ever will from reading their books. Dr. Peter Resta is a psychotherapist with more than 20 years of experience practicing in a variety of different settings. He has also been a college-level instructor of psychology for many years. Dr. Peter has organized and participated in numerous conferences related to UFOs and once again has organized a stellar lineup of his annual Mysteries of Space and Sky events. Welcome back to 21st Century Radio, Dr. Peter Resta.
Thank you very much, Dr. Bob. It's really great to be back on again, and I just want to say that two things, if I could, off the bat. First of all, I have to give credit to Mrs. Susan Switek from Virginia MUFON, who's played a major role in organizing this year's conference, and she'll also be a speaker. But I also wanted to again say that the Mysteries of Space and Sky conference is the longest-running UFO-related conference in the Washington-Baltimore area, and we're very proud about that. And we even have our own theme song that we play at the conferences, so we're very proud about it. And I think that this year, I believe we have maybe the best lineup that we have ever had, highlighted by the gentleman that you've been talking to, Mr. Bud Hopkins.
Well, Bud Hopkins is an extraordinary soul, boy, a multiple-faceted individual, to say the least. By the way, what do you know about the new UFO documentary by James Fox? Was it on tonight? I think it was October the 4th. It's called I Know What I Saw.
I believe it's on this evening, and I think we should tell people to not tune in this evening until after we're done, maybe TiVo or something. But I do, you know, the History Channel, they show those things frequently.
That's right. Yeah, you
and
can
if
always.
If it's the show that I think it is, I Know What I Saw, I think I actually have seen it. Perhaps I saw it in a pre-release video or something that somebody may have sent to me.
Or you may
and
have seen it.
If it's the show I think it is excellent. It is, you've got firsthand accounts of some people who have been directly involved with these cases. such as the Iranian pilots that Bud was talking about before the break. And these are sound, sober, responsible people. It's a very, very compelling show, and the evidence is kind of right there in your face, and it's hard to just simply dismiss it, although, as you and I know, Bob, frequently people do it anyway. Don't confuse me with the facts.
Oh, well, hey, that's a very good that's a quote I remember hearing Stan Friedman always used to use.
That's right.
Remember that one? Now, you change your venue. You're in the Ramada Inn near the BWI airport. Let's do some nuts and bolts and then get into your guests, okay?
Okay.
Okay. What's the parking like there?
The parking is great. It's a very roomy hotel. The parking is completely free. It's a very nice place. We vetted it very carefully when we decided to move out from the previous place. And the price this year actually includes lunch thrown in. As a matter of fact, we have... If people register by October the 11th, does that name ring a bell to you, Bob, for anything? October the 11th in UFO history.
Well, no. Right now, nothing rings a bell to me. I've had 2 hours sleep for the last 16 days.
Nothing. Well, it happens to be the birthday of my son, Patrick.
Oh, that's right. He sent me a card saying, please remember to say my birthday, and I forgot.
Who's kind of an up-and-coming ufologist himself. But it is the date of the Pascagoula case. Hickson and Parker case in Pascagoula at last year's conference. I interviewed Charles Hickson, and I played that interview, and he's agreed to let me do it again. So, but October the 11th, if you register on or before October the 11th, you save $2. So it's $38, and that includes a very nice lunch and buffet. We also are having an optional dinner where people can rub elbows with people like folks like Bud Hopkins, Colonel Charles Halt, Captain Rob Durant, Rosemary Ellen Guiley. And again, if they go to that website, if you go to your 21st Century Radio, they can click on the website, and that will give them all the particulars and all the details with the prices and the lunch and the dinner and the whole nine yards. But it's a very, very nice facility off of Coca-Cola Drive, very close to BWI. So if you have any listeners from out of town, I understand there's a shuttle right from BWI to the Ramada Hotel.
How fortunate.
And we're very, very excited about it.
Well, you should be. So it's about $40 for the day program, unless you get in there before October the 11th, and it's $38. It includes lunch speakers program from 9:30 a.m. to 5:30. And here's a cash bar where you can sit around and drink with all of us UFOers. And $70 for the entire program, I understand. That's pretty darn good. Now, what were you saying? I didn't mean to talk over you.
Yeah, that would include the dinner. And again, the dinner, the speakers will be there at the dinner. You can literally have dinner with Bud Hopkins. How about that?
Well, I'm going to try.
Well, you certainly are welcome to come, Bob. You know you're always welcome.
I really would. I know there's three other things that are. I don't know why October the 24th is the biggest thing for the whole world. But
we usually have this thing the last Saturday in October. That's been the traditional date for Mysteries of Space and Sky. But this year it's on Halloween, so we've moved it up a week. It's sort of in line with the season. That's true. We sort of take advantage of the Halloween season. But as I've mentioned, the lineup of speakers we have this year is just exemplary. Charles Halt.
Yeah, tell us about him.
Of course, Colonel Halt was involved with the England Roswell, the case back in 1980, where he was the deputy base commander at Rendlesham, and of course, I think most of your listeners probably know the story. But the long and the short of it is that he and his men saw something very, very strange in the sky that projected a light down to the ground. One of the men, a gentleman by the name of Kinniston, claimed to have actually touched this object. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing about this case is that earlier this year, the Ministry of Defense in England, they released some of their UFO files, and they pretty much downplayed this incident, and they said it was no threat to the defense of the United Kingdom, and pretty much said there was nothing to it. And a number of folks have come out and said that what Colonel Haughton and his men saw was really the reflection of a lighthouse.
A reflection of a lighthouse?
Of a light from a lighthouse, a light that was projected from a revolving lighthouse, which is interesting since Halt said that, somebody said that touched this. Halt is actually, the next day after the incident occurred, Colonel Halt actually took some impressions about an inch and a half deep and about 7 inches in diameter where the object had actually been seen on the ground. He took impressions of it. He described it as being metallic in appearance and triangular in shape. And my understanding is that Colonel Halt's actually going to bring those same cast impressions with him.
Wonderful.
On
Mysteries
of the Sky conference. And Colonel Halt, I tell you, I had lunch with Colonel Halt several years ago. And it's just my impression, but I always had a feeling that perhaps he knew more than he was saying type thing. And I've been told that recently he has gone so far as to say that he feels very, very confident that what he saw was extraterrestrial. And Susan Switek tells me that he has something more to say, and he may say it at this conference. So we're really happy about Colonel Halt coming. He's our marquee speaker.
So
a lot of people would like to get Colonel Halt to speak. We're very happy that he's agreed to join us. And as I said, with the exception of the Roswell case, this Rendlesham Forest case may be the most famous and the most compelling of all of the major UFO cases.
That's I believe that is true. But it's really very interesting that and Colonel Halt, they're trying to say that they was looking at a lighthouse, which was maybe, I think it was like a mile away, and yet Colonel Halt is saying this is a triangle that he actually put his hands on right next to him. In other words, Colonel Halt can't tell the difference between a mile away and what's on the ground in front of him. I mean, that's a terrible thing to say about a colonel. But I think that they don't particularly care about trying to make sure that their explanations have anything to deal with truth. They also have Captain Robert Durant. Who is he and what's he planning to speak about?
Well, Captain Durant actually spoke at one of my conferences several years ago on Roswell. He's written a lot about Roswell. He was on a National Geographic special on Roswell. And he also wrote one of the descriptions of the new book, Witness to Roswell, by Carey and Smith. I think you've had one of them on your show.
Oh, of course we have, yeah.
Captain, retired Air Force Captain Rob Durant, I ran into him up at a place that you're well aware of, the Visionary Museum in Baltimore.
Yeah, was just there for 3 days, over the past 3 days. It was just terrific.
Well, Ford Fest had a conference there.
Mm-hmm. Many times.
I think they had one earlier in the year. As a matter of fact, Bud mm-hmm. Hopkins was speaking, and I ran into Captain Durant. He's an incredibly compelling speaker and very knowledgeable about Roswell. And when I talked to him, I asked him what he was doing, and he said, well, I'm kind of going into retirement. And I said, well, that's a shame because you are one of the best speakers we've ever had at any of the Mysteries conferences, and we've had like 8 of them now. And to make a long story short, I talked him into coming out of retirement and for kind of giving us an update on the Roswell case, which is back in the news again, not just because of the book Witness to Roswell, but because of some other people that have come forth to talk about what they remember. And, of course, Jesse Marcel's son also has a new book out. So I'm very excited about hearing Captain Durant. He, as I said, he is a dynamic speaker who pulls no punches and tells it exactly like it is.
Well, like it is right now, we need to take a break. And when we return, let's talk about a person who's joined us numerous times, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, at the Mysteries of Space and Sky 6, the UFO Phenomenon Workshop at Ramada Inn near BWI Airport, October the 24th. And we've posted a link to their website at 21stcenturyradio.com, where you can get more information or to register.
I'm Attorney Wilson
on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Next week on 21st Century Radio, Old Time Radio is coming at you again this Sunday night with Gene Leitner and the Golden Radio Buffs. Time travel across the airwaves to hear some classic radio shows. Sunday night at 8, 21st Century Radio, Talk Radio 680 WCBM. If you're a business owner or executive seeking growth yet determined to cut wasteful costs, consider outsourcing your whole marketing department to The Selling Well. The Selling Well offers businesses truly superior marketing services without all the overhead costs associated with employing a full-time marketing executive. Learn more online at thesellingwell.com. That's thesellingwell.com, named after one of our greatest symbols of prosperity, the well. Visit thesellingwell.com or call The Selling Well's managing partner, Plato Hieronymus, at 443-939-1890. TheSellingWell.com. See my special demonstration on the hidden meanings of common symbols together with a performance of the transformative music of Telesma, November the 14th, starting at 8 p.m. at the Wind Up Space. That's at 12 West North Avenue. One people, one planet, hon, after my presentation on how many common symbols point to the same themes of unity, balance, and a higher state of consciousness, you can watch a new mural created before your very own eyes to the tunes of Telesma. Selections of 40 years of my symbolic art will be on display at the Wind Up Space from November the 1st through December 31st, together with selections from the rock and roll celebrity photographs of Stuart Zolotaro. Seating is limited, so order your tickets today at brownpapertickets.com. Search One People, One Planet, or call 410-366-7722. That's brownpapertickets.com. Search One People, One Planet, or call 410-366-7722. November the 14th at the Wind Up Space. Well, free books and prizes just for paying attention. Here's what you can win from 21st Century Radio's quiz. The book, Unconventional Flying Objects, The Body of Technological Evidence, Part 2, courtesy of Mutual UFO Network, plus a whole lot more. Just be the first to answer this simple question. Who was our final guest on 21st Century Radio last week? You tell us the name of our final guest on 21st Century Radio last week. You're going to be our winner, but you can qualify only by doing this. If you know the answer to this hour's quiz question on 21st Century Radio and you have not won from us in the last 60 days, call in now. 410-922-6680. That's 410-WCBM-680. First with the right answer wins. Prizes are available for you to pick up at the WCBM studios in Pikesville after Friday of this week. Winners have 60 days to pick up the prizes and must wait 60 days before winning another prize from 21st Century Radio. Good luck.
Hello, this is Dennis Stacy, author of The Field Guide to UFOs. You're listening to 21st Century Radio with Dr. Bob Hieronymus.
I wonder how Dennis is. Boy, I don't think I've heard from Dennis for 15 years, something like that. Welcome back to 21st Century Radio. Our guest is Dr. Peter Resta, Mysteries of Space and Sky 6, the UFO Phenomenon Workshop at the Ramada Inn near BWI Airport on October the 24th. And we've posted a link to their website at 21stcenturyradio.com where you can get more information or register. And you can meet many of these researchers, but especially Bud Hopkins. What an extraordinary man he is in lots of ways. Now, Peter, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, what's she going to be speaking about?
Well, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, as you may know, is one of the top paranormal researchers in the country, really. This lady has written over 40 books, talking about a prolific writer.
I'll say, yeah.
And these books primarily have to do with topics that may be considered to be more, shall we say, paranormal, such as the Encyclopedia of Witches and Witchcraft, the Encyclopedia of Demons and Demonology. She's involved with a number of these television shows that have to do with ghosts and such. Well, she's kind of, I guess you might say, stepping over somewhat from the paranormal side to the UFO field. In fact, she's one of the editors of the Journal of Abduction Research. But she's going to be talking about something called, believe it or not, shadow people.
Ooh, the shadow.
What most of us assume are just sort of dots before our eyes or floaters in our eyes or things that are in the peripheral area of our vision. Well, Rosemary has collected about 400 different narratives and has actually collected photographs of these so-called shadow people. I have seen these photographs myself because I teach a course over at UMBC called Social Psychology and Belief in the Paranormal, and Rosemary's been nice enough to be a guest speaker in my classes, and she's brought in these photographs, and I'm sure she'll be bringing them at the conference as well. And I have to admit that some of them are very, very compelling. These dark silhouettes that are seen in the most conspicuous places are, well, shall we say, thought-provoking. The question, of course, would be, what is the relationship between the, quote, shadow people and ufology and such? Well, Rosemary is still in the process of trying to make the link. She's used the word ultra-terrestrial as opposed to extraterrestrial, which perhaps she borrowed from John Keel, I'm not sure. But one of her hypotheses that she's looking at is that these shadow people may somehow be related to some type of, quote, alien monitoring program, or maybe even related to Men in Black. I don't want to speak for Rosemary. Obviously, you start talking about shadow people, you're getting almost as controversial as alien abductions. But I have to say that I've seen her photographs. I've listened to her presentation. She's also she's frequently on Coast to Coast Radio, which is aired on your station as well. And I have to say these photographs are fascinating and compelling.
Well,
people should come and see her and talk to her. She's a very, very interesting lady.
She certainly is, but I have to compel ourselves here. We've got less than about a minute and a half here left, and we've got to get, well, who else would you like to talk about of the other speakers?
Well, let me just run down them real quick here,
yeah,
if I could. We got Robert Switek from the Fund for UFO Research. He's going to be talking about some of recent sightings around some of the airports in the United States that probably a lot of people don't know about. We've got Susan Switek from Virginia MUFON, and she is going to be looking at a connection between cryptozoology and some of the quote-unquote UFO scenes such as the Mothman and in West Virginia and the degree to which it may be related to ufology. She's exploring that angle. And we've got, as you know, Bud Hopkins, who was the premier researcher into looking at alien abductions. I'm hoping to do an update with my work with Charlie Hickson from the Pascagoula case and have another interview with him. We're also going to have a testimonial to Dick Hall, who unfortunately passed away since last year's conference. We were very upset to hear about that. We're going to have a special tribute to Dick Hall at the dinner portion of the conference.
So, friends, you can click the link to the website on the front page of 21st Century Radio, Mysteries of Space and Sky 6, the UFO Phenomenon Workshop at the Ramada Inn near BWI Airport on October the 24th. And we posted a link, as I noted earlier, to their website at 21st Century Radio, where you can get more info or register. I hope this time to get a chance to at least say hello to you, if I can get enough drivers to drive us all around the place.
We'd love for you to come, Bob. You're always welcome.
Thank you very much. See you. No, I won't. UFOs? No UFOs next week, but you will be seeing old-time radio.